This month, the state government launched the new Advanced Health Directive. It's a legal document that anyone over 18 years of age can access to record what they would like to have happen if they got seriously sick or injured. Bit of a breakthrough. We're speaking right now to Mr. Simon Taller from the Department of Health. Good afternoon to you, Simon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thankfully. Obviously, people having to think about how they would like to have their things put in order before they do pass away. It is a very serious subject, but one all of us are really have to face, I suppose. It's been around for a while, hasn't it?
So, look, I think the conversation is more than just end-of-life care. The Advanced Health Directive is designed to give the person the opportunity to outline clearly for healthcare practitioners and also people thinking about where people might want to be during their care journey, so that they get their ideas down for those times when they can't give those answers themselves. These documents are not relevant if you can give your own conversations and decision at any time. It is to cover those circumstances where you lose the capacity to make your own decision.
There would be a number of reasons why that could be the case for somebody.
Yes,
yeah, coma, accident, fainting, whatever.
Absolutely.
And so could you just outline, I mean, it's obviously going to be a lot simpler for people, we'll get to that, but outline the circumstances that you are unable to voice your decision at that time.
Yes, so there are some very obvious ones, and you've given some very good examples. I mean, we hear every day of tragic events on the roads and dreadful accidents and people unexpectedly getting sick. Well, in those circumstances, you may not be able to make decisions for yourself. Mm. And if you haven't thought about those things in advance and thought about two things, one is, who is going to speak for me when I can't speak for myself? And there's another document called an enduring power of guardianship, which we may come to.
Yeah.
If you haven't put down those ideas, when you can't make the decision, so you may be very sick, you may be actually undergoing very major surgery, which was elective, but during the period of your surgery or after the surgery, before you fully regain consciousness, you can't make your own decisions.
When this situation does arise and you aren't able to speak and you're not probably being able to obviously tell somebody to get in touch with a friend that you have explained, this is what I want to have happen,
yes.
Do you carry some form of explanation on you for people to look, and would the medical people look for that?
So there's a very big discussion in that. So if you're looking in the situation where you have planned healthcare, you know, like surgery or upcoming major treatment, or somebody who is now on some supportive therapy like dialysis, then when you're working and engaging with your healthcare providers, then you can take one of these documents, your advanced care plan, and give it to them,
yeah.
And they will store it in an accessible place within the healthcare record. One of the great things is you will know about something called the My Health Record nationally.
Yep.
And you can actually upload this document to the My Health Record, and a doctor can find it there if you've made them made it available.
And told
so there
them.
There are a number of options.
Well, that is obviously very important indeed. And of course, the health, you know, department and whatever, the hospitals and the ambulance and that sort of, those people would be informed that that's the information that they could access. Would that be right?
So it's not as universally accessible yet as it
no.
needs to be. Under the National Health Service standards, under which our hospitals are accredited, if a person now provides the hospital with a copy of an advanced health directive or an enduring power of guardianship, the hospital is required to store that document and make it available if the person comes back to the institution.
Okay.
And in WA, what we've done is now increase the opportunities that if documents like that are stored on our computer systems, even if you go to a different hospital, it will be increasingly easy to see that document on our IT platforms.
Oh, that sounds
good. We're
cool.
Trying to help move in that direction. And this is very much in line with a new national framework, which was endorsed by all governments in the last 18 months, where one of the elements for all of these documents is not just that you prepare one, but that you keep it in a safe place and we make it available so it can influence your care when it matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I think obviously people are going to be very gratified to know that that be the case. I mean, we've had all sorts of problems, have we not, with the health system for quite some time for a lot of reasons, and this is just another way of securing your ideas and why, how you wish to be looked after.
Yeah.
Would it also include things like what hospital you'd like to go to?
Not usually. I mean, you can make a statement of preferences. And in the new document, one of the interesting things is there's a whole section for the person to work through in preparing their document to think about what are their wishes and preferences. There's a much more detailed guide. With the previous version of this document, which has now been around for about 11 years, the guidance material was not sufficiently detailed. And an enormous amount of work has gone into the preparation of the new document and a whole a document with information on how to step through the process. And if you wanted to put things like, you know, where you would like to be treated, who your usual doctor is, into that information, then it certainly then will be more accessible than it perhaps traditionally has been.
Yeah, very comforting. Doctor, you're a clinical lead for the end-of-life care team at WA Health. What about end-of-life choices? Does this particular program have that under the banner as well?
So you may remember that the government in Western Australia established a parliamentary committee that looked a lot at end-of-life care priorities for this jurisdiction, and they made a number of recommendations. And one of them was about improving the quality and the frequency with which people engage in this process of advanced planning, what we call advanced care planning. We've come forward now. That focus on end-of-life care is very important because traditionally, if the person presents unwell, then the doctors have felt an obligation to provide all possible treatments, but they may not be aware if the circumstances are that the person themselves has made some different choices. You'll also know that in Western Australia, we introduced voluntary assisted dying, a courageous decision taken by some people who, when they realise they're in the final months of their life and they're facing their death, they can make a choice to access VAD.
Yeah.
Well, this is about some really important principles. Under the national framework where we recognise the rights of patients, we expect that the patient's wishes and the conversations with them will inform the care that is delivered. In the end-of-life situation, if you come to the circumstances where you can't have that conversation because you've become unwell, these documents become your spokesperson, so those wishes will be followed. And the significance of the Advanced Health Directive is that it is a legislated document, and if the wishes stated in the Advanced Health Directive are consistent with the clinical situation in which the doctor is treating you, the doctor is responsible and is expected to follow those wishes in the care of the patient. This is a very important distinction.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, that information, if you have made that decision, how you would like your end-of-life care team to be looking after you, where is that stored? Is it in the same situation as it is for, you know, if you can't make a decision about your care?
Yeah, so if you sign up and write up one of these statutory documents, then we will store that in the medical record, or as I've said, in the My Health record.
Right.
There is something also called an advanced care plan where you may not yet have made decisions about which treatments you will accept or won't accept. But if you write down your statement of preferences and choices, and we've also created a form of that nature, a little bit different to the statutory form, so that information can also be kept in your record. But what I absolutely encourage people to do is if you're thinking about these issues and thinking about the circumstances where somebody may need to make a decision on your behalf, think about who that person would be. Possibly think about formally appointing them as your decision maker, what we call an enduring guardian, which there is another statutory form. Or if it is just a family member or friend or colleague who you wish to have speak for you, ensure you talk to them about your wishes and preferences and give them some kind of record from which they can work. That then relieves the burden on them when they find themselves making difficult decisions on your behalf.
to go through this process, if people are listening at the moment and they're, you know, planning ahead, which a lot do these days, they just go on online, do they, and do this?
So we've provided a whole lot of resources now. There's an advanced care planning framework, and I particularly want to acknowledge the extraordinary contribution of Palliative Care WA and the work that was developed to create the new advanced care planning documents. We talk about four phases: thinking about your issues, talking about it, writing them up, and then sharing it with people. We have many, many resources available now through the WA Department of Health, and Palliative Care WA can also assist. There is a website at healthywa.gov.au/advanced care planning. There is an email address, which is simply acp@health.wa.gov.au. And there's also a phone number, 9222 2300, where you can get some information if you're looking for more. And we will send out to you an information pack with the relevant documents and information on where to find additional information if you want to pursue that. We're also distributing these documents across the health system now, and I've recently met with the Law Society. We've got a number of presentations going on across the state over coming weeks, and we will be introducing this into our hospital setting for routine use.
Great information, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be relieved. Only just recently I was speaking to somebody that wanted to put their end-of-life, you know, requirements in the written form, and they said that they were finding it really complicated. Maybe this will make it easier for people.
Yes, it will, and I'm hoping that we'll make it even easier for people where they are actually used to working with electronic documents. We are at the moment hoping to make the form available in an electronic format over the next 12 months.
Oh, great.
That will make it even more accessible, but because it is a statutory document, at some point it does have to be printed out and signed in the relevant section.
And I guess the hard copy, once it's been approved, it's gone through the process, that it should be close by the For Your Will form as well.
I think that's a good place to keep it.
Yeah.
I think it's also really important that it is with that person who is going to be the person making your decisions. They're the person who the doctors will turn to when they're faced with making treatment decisions or treatments perhaps not to give treatment.
More information for, definitely for the better. Thank you very much indeed for explaining that to us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you
very much for the time. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Anytime. Thank you. Simon Taller.